Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94, cricket every day. My name is Mark Machado from the Merrily End and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vaza Devon from the Papere. Sri Lanka 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lanka content. We'll be dropping into your podcast feed on YouTube and on the 99.94 app several times every week. Please do rate, review, subscribe, leave your comments. We always love to hear what you've got to say about anything and let us know what you think. Thank you for joining Cricket's Conversation. Estelle, we're at the business end of the Sri Lanka Premier League 2022. We know the four teams that are through to the playoffs. I'm so excited I can barely get my words out. As predicted, Dambola are the only side that haven't made it through to the playoffs. I say the only side that haven't made it through. It's four out of five, so they were the ones. Let's dwell on Dambola for a minute because they start the tournament terribly, packed full of superstar players. Obviously, got one of the worst kits ever seen in not just across franchise cricket, not just across all of cricket, possibly all of sport. They literally look like clowns in that costume. But that said, they kind of managed to kind of pull it together the last few games, and it kind of felt like they'd just run out of players by the end of it because they very nearly made it through, right?
Yeah, but wasn't that because Gaul was pretty bad as well? I mean, they kind of opened the door for Dambola, didn't they? Like, at the end of the day, both teams finished with two wins out of eight games. Not good enough. Dambola in particular, we spoke about it in the past two episodes about the LPL, right? Just a stacked team, but nothing worked. I thought yesterday they looked really good, but it was too late, right? And some of those decisions in the end, I think, kind of epitomized their campaign. Bowling Sikandar Raza and Noor Ahmed in the last two overs, when you got guys like Pramod Madushan in the lineup, kind of weird. And they conceded 40-plus runs, I think. And it cost them a place in the playoffs. The playoffs. Because if they had met, like, I think at the beginning of the 19th over, Gaul were 89 for 8. They ended up scoring 126. If they had managed to keep them to about 100, and they chased down the total pretty quickly, if they had managed to keep them down to 100, I think they would have crossed the line in time and, gone past Gaul. So just those tactical kind of decisions, I mean, nothing worked for them, right?
There's a couple of players that I think are worth mentioning from Dambola, which is Siobhan Daniels and Lasith Prisipala. There are two players that me and you kind of identified were worth keeping an eye out for going into this tournament. It's interesting to me that they both actually had really good tournaments, but I don't think they have been as talked up as they might have been if they were in a more successful side. I really feel, and Lanka Premier League's not been around for very long, which might surprise people because it is the best franchise cricket league in the world. But in its three short years, it's actually developed tactically quite a lot, right? The first season was all about how do we get our best players in the best positions. I thought last season kind of became about matchups. This season, it's not just about getting the best players in the right positions and the best matchups. It's also about actually putting a performance in as a team, not losing your cool, maintaining a high strike rate, getting wickets at key times. All the big kind of things that you see from the other franchise leagues, I kind of feel tactically, if you're going to get to the playoffs, at least, you've got to be thinking about all these things, which in 3 years is actually quite a long way that this tournament's come, right? And it just feels that, you know, Dambola have had three owners in three seasons. They are the least stable franchise. And even though they've got some of the biggest names in the island, it's reflected in their performances. And it's, I think, sadly, for some of the younger players, it's probably meaning that even though they are putting good performances in, some incredible performances in, they're maybe not as well, you know, as getting talked up as their peers in other teams, right?
Yeah, I think Cruz Pule was someone that people were eyeing, particularly after that Invitational tournament performance he put in just before the T20 World Cup. He didn't have a good tournament. He didn't start. He didn't play in the starting 11 at the beginning of the tournament. So he came in midway and, you know, just couldn't find his feet at number three. But Shevon Daniel, I think, obviously is a big prospect for Sri Lanka cricket. I think there's a little bit more developing that he needs to do. And that's why it's important to kind of have this, in a sense, people follow the lead of Jaffna, where they've got, you know, Thillana Kandambi has been involved in the franchise since day one, right? And kind of have that development side going as well, so that you get players like Shevon Daniel, who has obviously a lot of potential. You get him ready for tournaments like this, where he can really do something special. I don't think he's done well, but I don't think he's done as well as he could. But there's obviously talent there, right? So it's really important then that whole, you know, off-season time is made maximum use of to develop these players.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm slightly worried about is getting to a situation where when the drafts happen and when the squads come out, is that you go, oh no, so-and-so, you really want to see X player be with another side, not because you think they're great mates with the other people in there, but because you know that certain teams, through the history of the LPL, it seems like Jaffna and Gaul have been the two places to be at, right? And you've seen how both sides have actually developed some domestic players through the last few seasons. And we've talked excessively about definitely the way Jaffna have done that. And you just want all the teams to have those kind of pathways to move, to get players ready to play really good cricket, to fulfill their potential and play franchise cricket in other parts of the world. If that becomes something that becomes available to them, because, you know, I think if you look at where Sri Lanka is at now compared to where they were before the LPL existed, there's probably about 15 or 20 players who you would consider very good white ball players, and that means that there's almost too many to play in the national side consistently. So a lot of them are going to have to go abroad and you know, earn a very good living, hopefully, from playing cricket in other parts of the world, right?
Yeah, and just on the development, I think one area that Sri Lanka really needs is that death bowling option. And if you look at the 2021 T20 World Cup, right, Sri Lanka lost to South Africa, Lahiru Kumara bowled that over defending 16. He couldn't defend it. They lost, right? One thing that we always spoke about during that time was how, you know, Lahiru Kumara's rarely ever gotten that role to play where he's bowling death overs. He was very much considered more of a test prospect than a limited overs prospect. But obviously with injuries and, you know, whatever things surrounding the team, he got into that role and he was, and I think that was the tournament where he was really given that role, where he needed to, you know, bowl at the death. So the LPL in that sense is very useful, because now you're getting to see Binuro Fernando, Kasun Rajitha, you know, Nuan Tushara, all of them bowling in the death, because they have to, right, for their franchises. So there are more opportunities for them to kind of come good and develop those skills, because you don't, what we always talk about is how Sri Lankan cricketers, men or women, are learning at the international level, which is not the case with many other teams, right? So that's, I think, one of the biggest areas that we've seen development in the past year. Also, because like you said, the first season, we had a lot of ex-cricketers coming from overseas. You wouldn't say that the standard of cricket was very high. But then, I mean, the tournament has been developing since then, right? And I think this time, possibly the best quality cricket we've seen over the last three seasons. So, you know, you never know with Sri Lanka cricket. We hope that there will be a fourth season, but it's been developing. So that's one of the areas I think we've seen so much development in. Another one which potentially there is a lot of development is also the opening batters and the intent they show. Guys like Pathumni Sanka, who would probably, you know, play more of a kind of a sedate role in international cricket. Now with competition around, he can see, you know, guys like Thanuka Dabare, Shevon Daniel making runs. you know your spot is not guaranteed, right? So then you also show a lot more intent, and that's only helping Sri Lanka cricket in the end.
Another player who has been involved at the LPL almost, I think, since the first game, actually, has been Gurbaz, the Afghan batter. And he's had an absolutely sensational tournament. And he's almost definitely dragged Avishka Fernando along for the ride with him, right?
Yeah, it's just, I tweeted about it earlier this morning as well. Avishka is the top run scorer at the end of the league stage of the LPL, right? Gurbaz is not even in the top five. But a lot of those runs Avishka's got is on the back of how quickly Gurbaz has got off the mark in the power play. I think, if I recall correctly, among the top 10, he's the only guy with a strike rate above 150. So that's immense, right? If you look at it, that's the type of cricket you want your opening batter to play. And then you can almost afford to have someone who takes a bit of time to settle in. Avishka, of course, has had a really good tournament. You know, you can't fault him. He's had, despite coming in after a long layoff due to injury, he's looked in superb touch. So he's had a good tournament. But Gurbaz, to me, has been like the star for Jaffna. I think if they are to do the three-peat, a lot is going to depend on how he goes in both the qualifier and if they reach the final, then the final.
We'll get into your predictions or our predictions for what happens in the playoffs in a few minutes. I want to take a quick break now. When we come back, let's discuss the fact that we are going to have a sixth team in the Lanka Premier League next season.
I don't just do this podcast. I also host Red Inca, which is a show that covers far more modern stories. We look at the trends within the game, tell stories about the modern great players, and look at what is really going on in global cricket. You can find Red Inca by searching for it in your podcast app or on YouTube or by downloading the 99.94DM app.
So Estelle, we talked about this about a week ago when we were discussing the end of the Palakkali leg. I suggested I think the LPL can sustain another team, and I think it needs it. My reasoning for that was because I felt there was enough talent, and I thought there was a lot of good players who weren't being given the opportunities to play in the league. I mean, like half our test team isn't playing. You know, don't even, you know, Prabhat Jayasuri, I don't think he's got a contract with anyone, and there's a few other players, you know, that could be doing bits that aren't. And I think it gives an opportunity to bring in some more international players, which I think adds great stardust. The Papre, or at least I saw the Papre break the news exclusively earlier today on the day of recording that we will be getting a sixth team, which will be either based in the north or is it north or northwest? So I don't know, it'd be Trinco Warriors or whatever.
Not whatever. Central.
Oh, Central. Oh, sorry.
North Central.
So that's unlikely, right? What is your reaction to the news that we are getting a six side?
Yeah, I don't know if. I mean, I agreed with you in the previous episode, I think, when you mentioned about the six team, but I'm not too sure anymore. Just seeing teams like Gaul and Dambul almost struggle to put 11 out on the field, like 11 players who kind of can fulfill the roles they want from them. It's kind of planted the seed of doubt in my mind because I just feel like the problem is Sri Lanka's domestic cricket, as everybody's discussed right throughout the last decade or, you know, 20 years, is that there are too many teams. The talent and quality is watered down, right? And you don't want, in my opinion, you don't want to see that happening in the LPL. I just feel like I mentioned before, that off-season is very important if they are to bring in another team as well, just to keep maybe those uncapped players, those guys who aren't involved in the national setup, at least maybe a couple of months before the LPL or something, where they are brought in and they're given that opportunity to learn from those coaches and, you know, be in that setup. Because otherwise, it seems like they just come together a day before the tournament. They spend those 3 weeks playing the LPL, and then they, you know, they part ways. And there's no learning, no real learning away from the competition itself. That is my concern. So if they can bring kind of sort that out, then like you said, in Sri Lanka, there is no shortage of talent. There are lots of talented players. There are a lot of guys who missed out, who would consider themselves unlucky. Case in point, I don't think we spoke about Movin Subbasingha. Played a couple of games for Gaul, then was injured and was kind of, I think Gaul wanted a replacement, so they brought in Osha de Fernando and Sahana Arachige. Guys like that, I feel like you have to feel for players like that, right? The one opportunity they're given is taken away in an instant. So maybe if six teams were there, then you would see fewer instances of that sort. But it's a bit tricky, I think, because you don't want the quality of the competition to go down. You don't want, like, I mean, the Dambulla and, I mean, Gaul made it better, but Dambulla's performance is really the last thing anyone involved in the organizing of the LPL would have wanted to see, right? Because a stacked team, and they played terribly. You have to say they played really bad cricket, right, throughout the tournament.
Yeah,
and
but
Gaul competed with them, but
I think it's because they played badly that's made people go, has made me go, do you know what, this tournament could have another side, because it's not just about stacking the team, right? It's about finding good players, of course, but it's also about the management, it's about the setup around it, it's about it's about how good the kit is, but that doesn't really matter. But
yeah, because with Dambulla, I think, so Miki Arthur is the coach. When he was originally announced, Sri Lanka Cricket announced him as Gaul Gladiators coach. And I don't know whether that was a mistake on their part or what happened, but he was only announced as Dambulla coach maybe a couple of days before the competition started. So then he's got no time. I don't know whether he was involved with the team before that, but you know, it's hardly any time to kind of do anything as a coach, right? Because once the matches start, how much can you do as a coach when you have maybe the international players? There's nothing much to coach them on, right? But with the younger players, like how much can you change how they play or you know develop how they play in the middle of a tournament?
Yeah, I agree, and you know we talked about the inconsistency with ownership groups in Dambulla, the most consistent team, and obviously they have changed their owners, but. So it's the backroom staff of being Jaffna, and they're the team that reap the rewards. They're the team that, you know, when you talk about the LPL to other people in cricket, they're the team that people reference, right? Weirdly, for franchise cricket, the thing that makes your teams good is consistency of everything you can control being consistent, right? So it's your coaches, it's your team behind the scenes. I also think the other, you know, for a more cynical reason, so I think the other reason why it's worth having a six team in is because I think we're probably not too far away from the teams being bought by IPL owners. And, well, obviously Gaul Gladiators is owned by the people who own a PSL side already. And so I think that, you know, we could be at the cusp of a huge amount of money being injected into Sri Lankan cricket via the owners of these sides, but I think it makes sense that if we got the players who can if we can kit these players out with decent players and they can be competitive, then why not have a six side and sell it? I think you look at Jaffna, you look at Colombo, you look at Kandy, and you just think those three sides to me feel absolutely primed to get taken over. Jaffna in particular, I mean. If the CSK ownership group aren't looking at what's going on at Jaffna and thinking this is a no-brainer, I'd be really surprised. I mean, the team's even called the Jaffna Kings. I mean, they just need that extra push to become super again, right? So I think having a six side for me, from my perspective, isn't a bad idea. Shall we take a quick break? And when we come back, Estelle, let's discuss who we think might end up winning this tournament.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So we know who our final four will be going into the playoffs. Before we started recording, I expressed my displeasure of how exactly the playoff system works. I think if you lose the game on the, is it the eliminator day, then I think you should be totally out of it. I don't think you should be
qualifier.
If you lose the qualifier, then I think you should be out of it. The idea that if you finish,
you prefer semi-finals, don't you?
Yeah, I would, like semi-finals and then. Yeah, and then a final, but there you go. Jaffna have been great. Colombo have kind of grown on me as we've gone through it. Gaul have totally gone off the boil, but it looks to me like Candy are, you know, the Falcons are flying, aren't they?
Yeah, they look really good, don't they? And I think it's come on the back of, you would have expected it to be a team reliant on Vanindu Hasaranga, but it hasn't really been that way at all, right? Carlos Brathwaite, we mentioned him in the previous episode as well. He's had a phenomenal tournament. I mean, not played international cricket since 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And he comes here and he's kind of been dominating. Andre Fletcher, Fabian Allen, two other key parts of that Candy lineup. Chamika Karunaratne has had a good tournament. After losing his teeth, obviously horrific injury, but I mean, he's had a really good tournament since then, hasn't he? He's got runs, he's been taking wickets, he's been brilliant in the field. I think he's very much come out with kind of a point to prove after being left out from the team. And Hasaranga has been Hasaranga, right? He's been picking up wickets, he's been bowling well. Ashin Bhandara, another guy who's done well. I think just looking at kind of the four teams, it's difficult to see anyone other than Candy and Jaffna making it to the finals, right?
Yeah, I think so. Jaffna have been cerebral when it comes to this end of the tournament the last few seasons. I thought going back to the final last year, I thought there's one point where I thought I can't see them winning this, and they managed to get over the line. It's interesting to me that I think the last couple of seasons, Jaffna have lost heavily to Gaul during the group stages and come through and won in the final when it's mattered almost. I feel hard to kind of go against it. But as you say, that Candy side is unbelievable. It's worth having, you know, going back to Charmica, because coming into this tournament, he was the bad boy of Sri Lankan cricket, but maybe I should say the Panto villain. I don't know if you know what Panto is, because I only realised recently it's a very English thing. It's a weird type of play that we have in England during the Christmas period. Charmica was vilified going into this tournament. There's supposed letters going around from in WhatsApp from people in very high powered positions in Sri Lankan cricket about him, but he's absolutely turned it around. He got his teeth knocked out, and I don't know if that made him reconsider his life when he was sitting there in the emergency room without his two front teeth. But I've had my two front teeth knocked out, and I can tell you it does make you consider your life choices. But yeah, he's come back with a bang, and apparently he's going to make it into the squad for the India tour, which, considering what people were saying about him in and around Sri Lankan cricket only a few weeks ago, that is quite a transition, isn't it?
It also helped, I think, that the guy who they brought in as his replacement didn't really do much, right? Dhananjay Lakshan hasn't really performed for Colombo either. And it's hard to leave Charmika out after this kind of performance. But I will say, like, unless there's like a serious disciplinary issue which they want to look at, it's really pointless leaving him out for extended period of time. It should be, you know, whatever, based on whatever they think he's done or hasn't done or whatever, you leave him out. And then, you know, no one should be left out forever, right? Unless there are serious issues going on. So it'll be a deserved recall. Hopefully he can kind of perform in the same way he has in the LPL in India as well, because he will be a key part of it, part of that competition, because I'm hearing that Dasun Shanaka has had surgery on his finger. So we don't know how fit he will be or whether he'll be available for the entire, you know, three ODIs, three T20s, or, you know, what the situation will be like. So if he's not available, then I guess Charmika's role will be even bigger in India.
That's really interesting insight there, Estelle, because obviously, you know, there's so many questions about who will end up captaining the side, the two vice captains, blah, 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 blah. And we'll get to that at some point on this podcast, probably when the squad is officially announced. The other thing I'll say about Charmika as well, it's almost a rite of passage that if you're going to go on and become a great of Shrunken Cricket, that at some point you must fall out with the board and for whatever reason not get selected. So maybe that's, I think the possibly if you go back and look at it, I'm reading Nick Brooks's book about Shrunken Cricket and Ireland's 11 at the moment. And even from the very embryonic stages of cricket being played in the island, well before it was called Sri Lanka, there was an instance of players falling out of the board and not getting selected. you know, maybe it's just something that all Shrunken cricketers have to go through, but I think he's shown immense character to get back in, and I have the tournament he's kind of had as quickly after the whole incident was unraveling for him a few weeks ago. Estelle, I think we should probably leave it there. Obviously, we'll do a wrap up of the whole tournament after once we've found out who's won it. Will you be at the eliminator and the final, and will you be attending any of these games? Or will you just be watching it from the comfort of your own home? Because it is, of course, very close to Christmas.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to go for one of the games at least, but we will see.
I hope you make it, because the Lanka Premier League is the best. It's the best franchise league in the world. Like, and you're so lucky to have it on your doorstep. I have to go watch the 100, where they're so lazy they don't even bowl 20 overs. But there you go. Right, let's leave it there. Of course, we'll be back. Thanks for listening to Shrunker on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please do rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast. You can download the 99.94 app. I'm also on Instagram as well, Insta Machado. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.